The hour of recess having expired, the Senate is back in session. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you inquire from the Secretary over the messages from the House? If so, I'd ask them to please be read.
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, please read the messages.
Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 394, entitled An Act Relating to Public Employee Retirement Systems with an Emergency Clause for a Certain Section, with House Amendment 1, House Amendment 1 to House Amendment 2, House Amendment 2 as amended, Emergency Clause defeated. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 30, entitled An Act Relating to Authorized Powers of Political Subdivisions, with House Amendment 1, House Amendment 2, House Amendment 3, House Amendment 4, House Amendment 5, House Amendment 6, House Amendment 7, House Amendment 8, House Amendment 9, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Kremlis, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you recognize the Senator from Greene County for a privilege motion on Senate Bill number 128.
Senator from Greene, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a privilege motion.
State your privilege motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I believe the motion that I want to make is that the Senate refuse to concur with the House on House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 128 as amended, and request that the House grant the Senate a conference thereon.
The Senator from Greene moves that the Senate refuse to concur from Senate Committee Substitute number 2 to Senate Bill 128 and request the House to recede from its position, or failing to do so, grant the Senate a conference thereon. Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator from Greene, you recognize close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
You've heard the motion made by the Senator from Greene. Those the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading. I'd ask you to recognize the Senator from Andrew County on House Bill number 1194.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading.
Mr. President, I move that House Bill 1194.
Number 1194. Senator from and 1193. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that House Bill 1194 and 1193 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
The Senator from Andrew has moved that House Committee Substitute for House Bills 1194 and 1193 be taken up for third reading and final passage. As many of them are the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I now move that House Bill number 1194 and 1193 be read a third time and finally passed. And Mr. President, I have a Senate substitute. I would move that the reading be waived as it has been distributed.
Please send your substitute forward. And do you care to explain your Senate substitute? And you need to move for the adoption, Senator.
I do move for the adoption, and I will explain the Senate substitute, Mr. President. Mr. President, in 1998, while I was serving in a minority in the House of Representatives, There was a Democrat majority. I voted for a bill sponsored by a Democrat representative to ensure that we had one consistent minimum wage rate set by the state. That bill passed the House by a vote of 115-38 and the Senate by a vote of 34-0. The intent of the bill was to prevent a patchwork of local minimum wages. This March, the Missouri Supreme Court recently struck down that law from 1998 because it violated the Hammerschmidt multi-subject rule on a lawsuit brought by the city of St. Louis after they passed a local ordinance raising the minimum wage in the city. As some of you may remember, we passed a similar bill in 2015. The Supreme Court did not rule on House Bill 722, the 2015 bill. It only addressed the 1998 bill. As a result of this Supreme Court decision, a small business owner in the city of St. Louis can now be penalized for following the state law and hiring a teenager at the state minimum wage rate to work as a part-time dishwasher after school. This bill sends a signal to all business owners in the city of St. Louis that they have a right to hire employees at the state minimum wage rate and above. No business owner should be put in jail for 90 days or fined $5,000 for creating jobs and following state law. We need more jobs in the state, not just in the St. Louis, city of St. Louis, but everywhere. During the debate on this local ordinance in the city of St. Louis, Alderman Antonio French highlighted the reality that two different minimum wage rates between St. Louis City and St. Louis County will make the unemployed unemployable. Mr. President, I am handling this bill because I am the only member of this chamber that was here in 1998, and I want to reinforce the intent of the legislature when this was signed into law by former Governor Mel Carnahan. This bill simply reinstates the law that was on the books for almost 20 years and was struck down by the court for no other reason than improper drafting. This bill also sends a message that every time a political subdivision doesn't like one of the laws passed by the General Assembly, they cannot simply just ignore it. With that, Mr. President, I would renew my motion.
Does any senator desire to be heard on the Senate substitute? Senator from the second, what purpose do you rise?
Senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from the second?
I most certainly do.
Senator from the second, you may proceed.
Senator, thank you for bringing this forward.
You bet. Good afternoon. Evening.
Afternoon. Good evening, Senator? And thank you for the inquiry. Senator, thank you for bringing this forward, and I'm sure we're about to begin a very spirited debate. And I believe the folks on the other side of this debate, including the alderman who voted for this bill, you know, have the best of intentions. We all want to see people make more money, get ahead economically. But I fear that this is one of these many laws, many government actions that can have unintended consequences. And, you know, I personally have always been where you are on the issue of the minimum wage. Of course, you mentioned the impracticality of the patchwork of having a patchwork of different minimum wages across the dozens of municipalities in the St. Louis metro area. But whatever the minimum wage is, and whether there's a patchwork or a uniform wage across a region or across a state, my fear is that when we set a minimum wage above what the market would otherwise command, we kick the bottom couple of rungs out from the economic ladder. That a vibrant economy needs entry-level jobs, that folks with fewer skills, whether that be a teenager like my kids, or whether it be someone who's been out of the workforce for many years and is returning for the workforce, or someone who's dropped out of high school, this alludes to the fact that really economically what we need to do is give every child in our state a good education. But there will always be the need, no matter how well educated, everyone gets their first job at one point in their life.
You bet.
And I remember my first job was actually, and I'm not even sure whether this was illegal or not, but at age 15, I got my first job at a local cafeteria. It was a family business, and they explained to me I was starting at, I don't know, 15 cents less than the minimum wage at the time. And I was happy to have it, and within a few weeks, I worked out. I was making a little more than a minimum wage. In a few more weeks, I was promoted to a cook, and I was chopping chickens, and I still have all 10 fingers to show for it. But a vibrant economy needs entry-level jobs, and if we set the minimum wage artificially high, not only do we have this issue of patchwork of jobs, and also as Alderman French alluded to, the fact that, look, if you have a choice of locating your business a mile inside city limits or a mile outside, you're going to locate a mile outside city limits.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
I do firmly believe that. I think it puts these communities at a competitive disadvantage to the other communities around it for the businesses, and I think it ends up hurting the people that they hope to help the most. It takes jobs and opportunities away
from the people they're most intending to help. Because if $10 or $15 is a good idea for minimum wage, if that's going to increase everyone's standard of living, why stop there? Why not make it 25? And I think the laws of economics give you the answer to that question. The one other point I would make is that in our modern society, labor and capital are interchangeable to a certain degree. And my friends who manage or own fast food restaurants, if you go to their conventions these days, it's nothing but technology. It's how to replace that person taking your order at the fast food window with a kiosk. Replacing the person who flips the burger with a machine that flips the burger, and if we want entry level flat, and actually all of my children, their first job was at a fast food restaurant, making minimum wage. So, Senator, I think I have no doubt we're going to have a very heartfelt, very sincere, very spirited debate over this, but I want to say that, you know, those on the other side of the issue from you, I really urge them to think twice and to think: Is St. Louis City really hurting the people they're intending to help? And I think just a lack of understanding of the principles of economics and of some practical realities of today's workplace, they are indeed hurting the people they're claiming to try to help. So again, Senator, thank you for taking the lead on this bill, and thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you, Senator.
Is it Senator's desire to be heard? Senator from Butler, what purpose do you rise?
I'd like to inquire the Senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from Butler?
I certainly do, Mr. President.
Senator Butler, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator. I like the Senator from the second. I'm very concerned about this for our young folks, because I know how important it is to learn to, it's not necessarily maybe the job you're doing at that time, but you learn skills like showing up on time.
The soft skills.
I'm sorry?
They call those the soft skills.
Yeah. And, you know, right now there's and Senator from Cape Girardeau will tell you, there's a lot of good jobs at McDonald's and different places, Burger King. And, you know, and the market kind of sets a rate. A lot of those people are making $8, $9, $10 an hour, and a lot of them didn't have any skills at all other than the fact they had a good attitude. They learned how to talk with people and talk to them about the French fries wasn't just exactly right, and learn to get to work and show up. But it really adds a lot to the family's income. Now, as far as the folks that may be a little bit older, that presents somewhat of a problem, but at the same time, though, they can move up in management, too. And I know a lot of people, and I know the Senator from Cape Girardeau, and the reason why I keep picking on that, because he's got lots of young people that work at fast food restaurants, and lots of times they become your new managers. Next thing you know, they're making really good money. Now, they learn a career, or they learn a retail trade. But the thing that really concerns me also is the amount of young people that we've got right now that don't even have summer jobs right now. And here we are trying to have this patchwork of minimum wage here in the state of Missouri. And I think it's going to affect like 10,000 employers.
I'm sorry.
10,000 employers.
Employers, okay.
In San Luis area, I think, alone. So, Senator from the second rightfully pointed out that right now they're getting where you can fill your ice cream cone. Robots are going to be doing all this stuff because business will always figure out a way to serve the public and get their product out to where it needs to be. Now, so there lies the problem. Now, you know, when you come home and you're making, let's just say you're only making the $770 bare minimum. Still yet, though, when you're a young person and you come home, it really helps the family make car payments or insurance or buy food. It's a big deal. But when you price yourself out of what the profit margins are and the heavy competition and the cost going up at this time with businesses, it's only going to cause more unemployment with the kids and the people they'll so desperately need an opportunity.
You know, Senator, you make a good point, and Senator from the second made a good point, too. Up my way, we had a McDonald's that had a fire, and then they rebuilt. And when they rebuilt, they modernized their facility to a great extent. And in the process, they put in a lot of capital in place of labor. They put in kiosks.
Oh, yeah.
They put in these modern machines to prepare the food. And Senator, really worries me for those, especially the low-skilled workers out there, that if we find ourselves and the businesses turning to capital instead of the low-skilled labor, where do these low-skilled labor folks get a chance to start? Where do they begin their opportunities to make a career? And I worry about that. And by artificially raising the minimum wage in these areas, especially in comparison to the communities around your city, I think it really harms the city, it harms those communities, it harms those businesses where they more likely turn to capital and then not even, as the alderman said, make the unemployed unemployable because the jobs have left.
Right.
And it bothers me.
Well, you're talking to a low-skilled worker at one time.
I don't know about yourself, but
I was a very low-skilled worker. I will have to tell you what I did was picked up hay out of fields down in Wayne County, Missouri for 2 cents a bale. And you didn't just pick them up. You load them on a trailer, and you just put them on the trailer. You took them off the trailer, and you put them in a barn. It's like 100 degrees outside.
Yeah.
And we shared 2 cents a bale, and we thought we were making some really big money.
Yeah.
Only later.
My payment for similar work was I got the chance to live under a roof and be fed.
Well, yeah,
on
that
our
was my
farm.
Next point. And my dad had like a little trading post there.
Yeah.
And he used to bring lumber in and cement at that time, and mortar came in 110-pound bags. They don't come in them size bags anymore. And everybody used to say, what kind of forklift you guys use? And I said, well, it's me and my two older brothers. We were the forklifts. And it was room and board at that time. But later on, I was fixing flats and washing wax in people's cars for a living. And, it didn't take much skills to do that, but I figured out I needed to do the best job I could. Because I was working on some banker's cars, and I mean, when I washed and waxed your car, a fly could not land on it. It would just skid off the side, okay? Because I wanted to show these bankers that I could work. I was 19 at that time, had my own little business down there in Poplar Bluff, old gas station, and that's where you pump the gas. We already talked about that earlier at 19-9. But at any rate, that really helped me out later on because I proved I had good work ethic to those bankers when I needed a loan to start moving up in the business world. So I would say a lot of people in this room right now has got similar stories. Every one of us has got similar stories. So really what we're going to do is we're going to thwart some opportunities for young folks. And some of our inner city kids, and not just inner city, we have as much as 35 to 40% unemployment for kids not having opportunities in summertime. And here we are trying to artificially figure out a way that maybe we can put 55% of them out of a job. And that's not what we're trying to do here. A lot of them may want to augment their family's income or maybe go to school or do some other stuff or own their first car. I didn't have a car when I was growing up. I rode an old 250 Yamaha motorcycle that cost $35 that my brother loaned me $35 to get. And I was just glad to have something that had a motor on it. But anyway, we're just going to be taking away opportunities for kids to get out in the business world and to watch their manager or their assistant manager and then have focus and things to maybe want to better themselves and make a difference in their family's spendable income. Might make a difference in whether or not they can pay their rent or whether or not they can pay their house payment or their insurance. Or maybe they aspire to have their own vehicle. So therein lies the problem. And then what's going to happen is you're going to see a mass exodus in some of these places to go outside of that circle, and it's just going to exacerbate the issue.
That's right. With a hodgepodge of minimum wages set by different cities throughout throughout the state, if we aren't able to take us back to the 1998 law that was in statutes that were in place that was thrown out by the Supreme Court, right. Then you'll have this hodgepodge, and you'll have communities competing against each other, and I think it really disadvantages some communities.
You know, the mayor over there in St. Louis, at one time when this was being challenged, he said in a press release he's going to have a grace period for businesses over there. There's going to be a grace period if this happened to come back out and be overturned and this minimum wage go into effect there. Well, there's not, and there wasn't, and it became effect last Friday, I believe it was. And so businesses really didn't have a chance to kind of get reacclimated and talk to their employees, so on and so forth. So anyway, I don't want to sit here and talk about it all night, but I'm really concerned about the folks that really need a start.
And Senator, you're a businessman, and if you had invested in the city of St. Louis under thinking that you were protected from these kind of ordinances by the state law that was in effect since 1998, and you made that capital investment, and then come to find out that protection wasn't there any longer, wouldn't you wish to have that protection back as well? That you could continue on with your business in a city that you maybe love and enjoy and cherish, but local ordinance gives you difficult pause for that.
Actually, I've had a business in St. Louis before, so, and you know, I like to say down in our district,
sure,
four of my eight counties, and family of four, medium income, we're in the lowest, four out of the top five poorest counties when you consider it median family income of four. However, you know what I tell everybody? We don't aspire to have a minimum wage job.
You bet.
We don't aspire to have that.
Minimum wage.
We want to be the manager of one of these places that we're learning a skill at. We want to be able to augment being able to go to school or a trade school or have things that, or get out and meet people, do some networking.
You bet.
You never know the next person's going to come by and get that Big Mac and that large order of fries might say, wow, that was really a good kid there. Give him a card and say, hey, well, you know, what grade you in? Well, I'm a senior in high school. You know, well, we'd really like for you to maybe come over and, you know, do some intern work or something. That's how you get out and make the best you can be. But if you don't have a job, and if you're not standing there at the window, or if you're not standing in another job, you never have an opportunity to do the networking. That's just plain and simple. Or you're going to be somewhere you might be getting in trouble or whatever. Because I tell you, idle hands and idle minds will get you in trouble every time. So that's all I got to really say about, unless you need something else that you would like to ask me about.
Senator, thank you for your input, and thank you for
Well, I am very concerned, and I want people to be the best they can be, and I want to make a whole truckload of money. But we got to get started somewhere.
You bet.
Thank you very much.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Barton, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I inquire the senator from Andrew?
Senator from Andrew, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Barton?
Mr. President, I certainly do.
Senator from Barton, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Good evening,
Senator. I do appreciate you being willing to take on this load. I think it's important. I mean, I've been listening to the arguments. I agree with those. You know, I don't remember every conversation that I've had, but there was a conversation I had with some of the restaurateurs who were around here. And didn't Columbia impose a higher than state minimum wage some time back?
That I'm not aware of.
I think that's the case, and I think if I'm remembering it right, they said 16 restaurants closed shortly after the implementation of that. And you know, I know the people that believe the state should be in charge of this. They really are thinking this is a good thing, that you know, more people are going to make more money. But I wonder where those employees from those 16 institutions went, and I wonder if there were jobs there for them when they went there, and whether they could find jobs that paid them. And, you know, one of the things that we've done, I think, in some of our welfare state perspective, is that we have made it more profitable sometimes not to work. But there is no question in my mind, and anyone that's ever talked to someone who's been unemployed and then gotten reemployed, that there's very few things that are better for your self-esteem and better for your mental outlook than having a job. And so,
Senator, I remember a quote, and I think it came from Ronald Reagan. He said that the best welfare program was a good job.
That's right, and it really
and,
is.
And it builds that esteem. It builds, you know, respect. It builds integrity.
That's right. I think
it makes you feel good about yourself.
That's right. All of us have that inward desire to want to be doing something that's significant. And if I'm sitting at home collecting a check from the state, it's hard for me to find something like that. But when I am reporting to work, when I'm showing up on time, when I'm being praised by the management for the job that I'm doing, when I may be seeing promotions as I prove that I can do more than I'm doing now, there's just something about that puts a person's life together and can get them over a lot of the hurdles that they might otherwise face if they were idle. If they didn't have a job. And what we're doing here is we are talking about the problem that happens when you end up in that economic situation where you price something out of the labor market. And that's what's happened in states. That's what's happened in communities that have done this. And we see just the opposite impact that those who promote it want to happen. I hope that the senator from Cape sooner or later opts in on this. He's kind of an, I wouldn't even call him an amateur, I would just call him an unofficial economist. and he really does study these things very carefully, and he's got a very wise financial mind, and I think he really has a way to put these kind of things in lay terms so the rest of us can kind of understand them. But it, you know, when you look at that, you say, "Oh well, these businesses, they can absorb that." But that's not true. I mean, if you take a restaurant is very labor intensive, as you may know,
and very competitive. Yeah.
And that's right, and very competitive. Very slim profit margins in a restaurant, and those restaurant owners have to already be looking at how many dishwashers they're employing and whether they can do with less. They're looking at how many servers they're employing and whether they can get by with less. They're measuring how much that their customers get disadvantaged by the staffing that they have to cut, because that's a competitive industry, and they can't just go out there and say, well, we're going to raise our wages are going up 10%, we're going to go raise our prices 10%.
And Senator, they may be looking at it too and looking at this increase and saying, well, would it be better for me to move 2 miles into St. Louis County into one of the cities in St. Louis County and continue my business there?
And some of them may already be looking at that. I mean, that might have been one of those things where they've been contemplating that for years, and this is the straw that breaks the camel's back, and it says, this is it, I'm going. So I think we cannot afford to ignore all these secondary and tertiary effects of the state stepping into that marketplace and mandating a movement of money that the market might not otherwise support.
And you're talking about the city doing it when you
That's
say
right.
the state. Yeah,
That's
the
right.
city. You mean state, what we're trying to do is just get back to where we were in 1998 with a uniform minimum wage across the state.
Yeah, when
so
I
we
say
don't
state, I'm
communities
talking about
against
government imposed. Right.
Yeah,
you're trying to move it back so that it is a statewide.
Where
so
we were can. Up until March of this year.
Right. And we have, the economy has leveled out there to where it belongs. It's settled in, whether we agree with that minimum wage or not. But when we begin to manipulate that, all of these secondary effects happen. And the very effect that we want is contrary to what the impact becomes. And I just hope that we can get through this. I hope we can work our way to a vote and see exactly what the vote of the body is. But I certainly am in support of the legislation that you brought before us, and I appreciate you taking my inquiry, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Cape Girardeau, what purpose do you rise?
Prior with the Senator from Andrew.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield to inquiry from the Senator from Cape Girardeau?
I certainly do, Mr. President.
Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Senator, for bringing this forward. I read a book several years ago. It was quite enlightening. It was called Please Stop Trying to Help Me. And it was written by an African-American who went through numerous things of that the liberals are trying to help, you know, people in poverty and low incomes, and showed how they all backfired. I'd suggest people find that book, if it's still available, and read it themselves, because it will backfire. You know, I've worked for the two largest restaurant companies in the world. I was stationed outside of Chicago, Philadelphia, now Cape Girardeau. If you had all the states I was responsible for, they'd add up to 22. So I've seen a lot. A week from tomorrow, I will be in Chicago for the National Restaurant Association Conference, and I've been seeing a trend over the last several years, and there'll be more this year, I've told, where they show more increased automation in the restaurant industry. Robots that make fries, robots that take your orders, robots that make hamburgers for you, because businesses are smart. They know that if the costs rise in one area, they're going to try to eliminate those increases in another. In fact, I visited a restaurant that I believe is in Senator Buchanan's district. Is that St. Joe? Is that in?
It is. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's the restaurant I talked about earlier.
Yeah. They instituted that where you can place your own order, put your credit card in, and you don't even have to talk to a person. Of course, a lot of places are going to the mobile apps. You know, a lot of people say, well, it's not a living wage. Well, I got news for you. It's not meant to be a living wage.
A starting wage.
It's supposed to be a starting wage. When you show up somewhere for a job and you have no skills, no talents, do you expect to get a wage that's meant for people with skills and talent? I don't think so. But I can tell you McDonald's, who I work for now, has made more millionaires than any other company in the world. People that started out, I think the senator from Butler mentioned, he started out, you know, in low-wage jobs. People that start out at McDonald's, they've grown up to be owner-operators themselves or gone to work for the corporation, even the CEO, current CEO and president, and a lot of the vice president positions have started out that way. And now they're pulling in multi-million dollar salaries. When people show up at our restaurants, we don't even start them out at minimum wage because I feel you get what you pay for. If I pay more, I'm going to get more.
There you go.
And we put them on a trial basis, and after 90 days, if they're doing really well, we'll give them another raise. And at the end of that 90 days, which is 120 total, if they're doing well, we'll give them another one. And then every year, actually every 6 months after that, you know, our company gives out scholarships. And you don't have, it's not need-based. Anyone who applies can get it, no matter what you major in. We had somebody major in nursing and hated to lose her. She was one of our managers in Advance. And after her clinical, she's now working in the nursing field. I love to see those success stories. Not everyone that shows up at our door is going to stay in the field. But, you know, if they choose to, there's a great career waiting for them. I remember when I first worked for Taco Bell Corporation in Chicago, one of the restaurant managers told me that when she went to have her taxes done, the accountant said, "You make this much money?" They had no idea. We have a great career ladder. You start out as a crew member, crew trainer, shift leader, assistant manager, senior assistant manager, general manager, supervisor. For people that want to work hard and build their talents and skills, the opportunities are unlimited. But what about those people that we remove the first two rungs for and they don't get those opportunities?
They never get the chance to start. They never get a chance to get on the ladder.
You know, the robots that are out there now and they're getting more every year, you know what? None of them's ever filed a workers' comp claim.
They show up for work.
None of them's ever been late for work. None of them's ever sass back at a customer out of frustration. We don't want to eliminate jobs for the people that need them, but that's exactly what's going to happen. Empirical studies consistently show as the minimum wage increases, the opportunities for the people that need those jobs the most decrease. It's a simple economic truth. But if we ignore it, we're going to be making some mistakes that'll be hurting the very people
absolutely.
That need a job.
That we wrote, that they're desiring to help.
Exactly.
And I am convinced of that too, Senator. I mean that's why I'm happy to bring forth the bill to put us back to where we were in 1998 with a uniform minimum wage across the state, which is higher than the federal minimum wage. You know, we did that in 2006. The people of the state of Missouri chose to make that higher and put in an escalator in it.
And so we're
already, and that's uniform across the state as well.
And people mistakenly say, well, you know, the restaurants will absorb the increase. No, they won't.
No, they won't.
That's wishful thinking, wrongful thinking. And the margins are already razor thin. You don't believe it, start a restaurant on your own, you'll see how thin those margins are.
After
so they don't have a lot of room. And empirical studies show that as you raise prices, you get less customer counts. An economic fact, reality. Raise prices and you lose customers. And I think there's a lot of people in here say, you know, I notice I don't go to the movies as much, or maybe I don't go to out and eat as much as I used to, or whatever it is, because why? Because the prices have increased.
Or my cable bill got too high and I decided just to eliminate that and watch TV.
Exactly.
Over there. Yeah.
And I can't even begin to tell you, having a patchwork of minimum wage laws across the state, because that's what will happen, will be detrimental to economic development and job growth. Companies, probably the number one thing that they want, and there's a list of many, but probably the number one thing is consistency. They don't like inconsistency.
Security, to know that it'll stay the same. Yeah.
You know, restaurants might start out in a certain location, and we call it an offset. In other words, you used to be on one corner, and now you're down the street a mile and on another corner. Well, now you might be in another minimum wage district. It'd be a nightmare to keep track of all the minimum wage districts that would start popping up, everyone trying to be doing good, and I understand that. We all want to do good. Well, if you want to do good, then don't raise the minimum wage. If you don't care that the people you're trying to protect are actually going to be hurt, then raise the minimum wage. But if you care about them, you'll think about it. You'll study it. I always say, don't substitute emotion for scholarship.
Sure.
Thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senators desire to be heard? Senator from the 5th, all purpose to your rights.
Mr. President, I have an amendment, and I ask that it be read. Thank you.
Send your amendment forward. And has your amendment been distributed?
No, but I will not close until then.
Okay. Senator, if you ask for the reading, it will not be distributed.
Well, that's fine, too.
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment. Senator, you'll also need to move for the adoption of that amendment.
Mr. President, I have the amendment. I ask that it be read, and I move for its adoption. Thank you, Mr. President.
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment Number 1, offered by Senator Nasheed, amend Senate Substitute, House Committee Substitute, House Bills 1194 and 1193, page 12, section 288.062, line 11, of said page by inserting after all of said line the following, quote, 290.502, period, 1, period, except as may be otherwise provided pursuant to sections 290.500 to 290.530, effective January 1st, 2007, every employer shall pay to each employee wages at the rate of bracket $6.50 in bracket $9 per hour, or wages at the same rate or rates set under the provisions of federal law as the prevailing federal minimum wage applicable to those covered jobs in interstate commerce, whichever rate per hour is higher. Two, period. The minimum wage shall be increased or decreased on January 1, 2008, and on January 1st of successive years by the increase or decrease in the cost of living. On September 30, 2007, and on each September 30 of each successive year, the director shall measure the increase or decrease in the cost of living by the percentage increase or decrease as of the preceding July over the level as of July of the immediately preceding year of the Consumer Price Index for urban wage earners and clerical workers, quote, or parentheses, CPI-W in parentheses, or successor index as published by the U.S. Department of Labor or its successor agency, with the amount of the minimum wage increase or decrease rounded to the nearest 5 cents, period, end quote, semicolon, and further amend the title and enacting clause accordingly.
Senator from the 5th, do you care to explain your amendment?
Yes.
Three senators standing. Senator from Andrew, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I just would ask that that amendment be distributed. It does seem fairly complex and complicated, and I'd like to be able to review that. So I would ask that amendment be distributed.
It will be distributed. Senator from the 5th, you may proceed with your explanation.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Missouri legislative session has been memorable, to say the least. There are many who have described this year as one of the most dysfunctional, divisiveness, and destruction legislative years of all times. Mr. President, I truly agree. It has been said that attacks on the poor and the struggling is the most lowest display of power one can engage in, Mr. President. As I stand here in this chamber defending the people of St. Louis from my colleagues who have given into partisan politics, causing dysfunction, division, and distractions, one thing is clear, Mr. President. One thing is clear. This bill is nothing more than a legislative attempt to divide this body, rural versus urban, distract this body, Mr. President, from addressing the real issues like access to education and reducing economic inequalities. In these final hours, this body is in total and utter dysfunction. So I ask my colleagues, do you disagree? Do you disagree with anything that I've just said? If so, then explain to me how attacking the local decision of a city or cities like St. Louis and Kansas City will help address these dysfunctionalisms. You can't, because it doesn't. As a body, we have not and are not addressing the underlying issues that require an increase in minimum wage in the first place. We have outright refused to focus on the economic growth, forcing local governments to do it themselves, like St. Louis and Kansas City. Mr. President, it is time to join local governments and not stand in their way. So as a Senate that prides itself on not just succumbing to the demands and overarching big government, as my colleagues across the aisle would say, why are we? The government bullying in local government is not right. Mr. President, we are 132 miles away. 132 miles away. If you value, if you truly value local control, as many of you say you do, then support St. Louis. You see, when a local community wants to show a little initiative and lead on issues like economic development and workers' rights, this body should not get in the way. Mr. President, especially when that is St. Louis. St. Louis, home to more than 300,000 working men and women. St. Louis, which generates more than $1.1 billion in personal income in 2016. St. Louis, one of America's fastest growing cities for tech startups. Home of the Gateway Arch, Ballpark Village, Anheuser-Busch, and not to mention the St. Louis Cardinals. Mr. President, as you well see, I love my city. I love my district, just like each and every one of you love yours. And what do we do when when someone come after those we love? We defend them. We fight back. And we stand strong, Mr. President. Today, I am defending the working men of St. Louis who just want to earn an honest day's pay for honest day's work. Men and women, Mr. President, who are not looking for a hand out, but looking for a hand up. I am fighting for the families, Mr. President, who are struggling to make ends meet even when they work hard. I am working for those whom a $10 an hour wage would mean one more step up the economic ladder for them and their children. And I am standing, Mr. President, standing strong against those who want to come after some of the most vulnerable members of our society. At the end of the day, this is an issue within St. Louis. St. Louis decided, the people decided. So, Mr. President, I was sent here to be a voice for the voiceless. And tonight, Mr. President, tonight you will hear my voice. And with that being said, Mr. President, let me talk about how we got here. How do we get here? Mr. President, in 2015, the Missouri General Assembly passed House Bill 722. This law created a deadline on August of 28, 2015 that would limit local governments from providing a minimum wage that is higher than our state's wage. But Mayor Slay signed an executive order on the deadline date, which meant that didn't apply to St. Louis. With that, House Bill 722 does not have any, I repeat, any effect on the city of St. Louis and their new minimum wage. Now, I don't know if many of you remember Senate Bill 2, House Bill, House Concurrent Resolution, HB 722, prohibiting ordinance by political subdivisions. Well, let me just refresh your memory here. Senate Bill specified that all merchants, vendors, and peddlers doing business in this state must have the option to provide customers with a paper or plastic bag for any items or goods purchased. It also went on to imply that a political subdivision cannot impose any ban, fee, or tax upon the use of paper or plastic bags for packing any items or good purchased or prohibited by consumers from using the reusable bags. I don't know how many of you who are listening remember that. But the bill also prohibited political subdivisions from establishing / mandating or otherwise requiring any employer to provide to an employee a minimal or livable wage rate or employment benefit that exceeds or exceeded the requirement of federal or state law, rules, or regulations. This provision must not be preempt any state law. Local minimum wage requirements is in effect on August the 28th, 2015. Again, that doesn't apply to St. Louis because, like I just repeated before, Mayor Slay signed the executive order on the deadline, which was August the 28th. So why are we even here? Why are we here having a discussion about minimum wage? Now, the Supreme Court ruled in the St. Louis City's favor, and we were able to implement our minimum wage just, was that Friday? Last Friday. And here you come, this body, wanting to tread on the city of St. Louis. Don't tread on me. Remember you Republicans saying that all the time? Don't tread on me. And now here you are, treading on the city of St. Louis. Mr. President, I want to just talk a little bit about what is at stake when we talk about repealing the city of St. Louis minimum wage. But recently, the Supreme Court ruled that St. Louis City may raise our minimum wage to $10 an hour in 2017, which we did, and $11 by 2018, Mr. President. If state lawmakers fail to address these critical issues are the crisis of economic inequality and the hardship of the working class, cities have the right. I mean, if we on the federal and state level are failing to deal with the crisis, the economic crises, and the inequalities and hardships that people are facing, working class men and women are facing throughout this country, Mr. President. Cities have the right and the obligation and the duty to step up to the plate and do what it is that this state is failing to do. We have that obligation. And guess what? St. Louis and Kansas City, we stepped up to the plate, and we did it. You know, Republicans who oppose the right of individuals and municipalities to provide a living wage to its citizens are exercising, Mr. President, a double standard. They complain about federal overreach in states and business, and they're doing the same thing to local government. How dare you? Hypocrisy at its highest level. The same exact thing. They complain often about it. We hear it all the time about government overreach. We are seeing the heavy-handed hands of our state government coming in and retroactively telling the city of St. Louis and Kansas City what it can and can't do to meet the needs of their community. That's not fair. It's not right. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. This right of local control, Mr. President, is not something states, politicians should be trying to steal based on their opinion of the issue. Because all I've heard before I got up to speak was an opinion. Opinions of what they thought. No facts. No citing of academic studies. Just opinions of the issue. And when members of this body try to take away rights of localities, that's what we call big government. If you really want to define what big government is, because you often say it becomes a cliche to each and every one of you, but the meaning of big government is what you are trying to do tonight. Strip the localities of the abilities to do for them what you won't do. It's called overreach. It's called overreach. And we should not tolerate that. We just shouldn't. In the state of Missouri, local government may keep minimum wage increases if the increase was in place by August of 2015. Again, I can tell you, we met that deadline. We complied with bill. Currently, federal law wage is $7.25. Has not been raised since July 2009. It's not good. Currently, the minimum wage here, $7.70. Businesses with an income level, and let's just talk about this here. You know, so I was having a conversation with one of my colleagues, and my colleague said to me, you know what? We have to look out for the small guys. You know, the mom and pops. You know, those are the individuals who will be impacted by this. We have to look out for them. But if they were really paying attention to what's happening in St. Louis in terms of the St. Louis ordinance, businesses with an income less than $500,000 are not required to pay the state minimum wage, the city minimum wage, what did I say? So that's not even an issue that one should be even worried about. In 2013, we were at 735. 2014, 750. 2015, 765. 2017, 765. And 2007, 770. In the last 5 years, Missouri has only raised the minimum wage by 35%. 35 cents. Can you believe that? 35 cents. When the cost of living is steadily rising. Bread, butter, milk, eggs, utilities. Last 5 years, 35 cents. The past year, opponents of living wage decided that the work of Missourians were worth a nickel. 5 cents. You know, this sent a message that Missouri only thinks its workers are worth 35 cents within the last 5 years. A nickel. The people of St. Louis, of the state of Missouri, work hard. So how can we sit in this chamber and tell our constituents that we appreciate their work, their contribution to our economy, their choice to live and work here in the state, but just not enough to pay them a livable wage? Not enough to flip them more than just a nickel in the past year. A nickel. You will say that your opponents, the opposition to raise the wages in defense of small businesses. That's what many of them here tonight talk about, the small businesses. But what about the people that keep those businesses running? The hardworking people that provide the actual labor work and services. They will not be nothing without those individuals. It's inseparable. You cannot have one without the other. I say if the success of your business is dependent upon paying your employees a slave wage, barely enough to survive off, then it is not a business we need here in the state of Missouri. Take your business somewhere else. If you think that a slave wage is good enough for their labor and service, this is not fighting for hardworking people of this state. The cost of living in Missouri varies between cities. I know you all know that. St. Louis having a higher cost of living. Now, let me compare Jefferson City with St. Louis cost of living. Even here in Jefferson City, there's a different cost of living for us legislators. And an apartment in Jefferson City can cost as little as $200 for one bedroom. For two bedrooms, $460, $65. Some of them are furnished. I live in one. I can live here. For some in St. Louis, though, for some in St. Louis, One bedroom. Listen to me. Listen. One bedroom can cost $535. The difference is $325. Jeff City to St. Louis. And if you want to like a fancy one bedroom when you start getting in the Central West End area, you know, want to, you know, hang out there, you're talking about $1,200. $1,200 to $1,300 for one bedroom. That's the cost of living in St. Louis. Do you know what a family or a single mom can do with an extra $325? In St. Louis, they can buy more food, put more gas in their car if they can afford a car, pay their bills, the utility, gas, insurance, car insurance, house insurance. They can buy the children a couple more shoes. But no, we would rather have a state wage at the same rate where hardworking Missourians and two different cities with two different cost of livings making the same amount of money, and we think that's fair. We think that's fair. Not fair. Massachusetts Institution of Technology that stated, this is my source, state of Missouri versus St. Louis, a living hourly wage should be, this is what Massachusetts Institution of Technology said, that the state of Missouri versus the city of St. Louis.
Senator from Andrew, what reason do you rise?
President, will you put that bill on the informal calendar?
That bill will be placed in the formal calendar. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you inquire from the Secretary if there are messages in the House? If so, I'd ask them to please be read.
If there are messages, Madam Secretary, please have them read.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 488, entitled An Act Relating to the Conveyance of State Property. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 114, entitled An Act Relating to Political Subdivisions, with House Amendment 1, House Amendment 2, House Amendment 3, House Amendment 4, House Amendment 5, House Amendment 6, House Amendment 1, 2, House Amendment 7, House Amendment 7 as amended. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to receive from its position on House Amendment 1, House Amendment 2, House Amendment 3, House Amendment 1, 2, House Amendment 4, House Amendment 4 as amended to Senate Bill 222 and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Also, Mr. President, the Speaker of the House of Representatives has appointed the following committee to act with a like committee from the Senate on Senate Bill 222. Representatives Corman, Reibold, Tate, McCreary, Razor. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to recede from its position on House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 225 as amended and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Also, Mr. President, the Speaker of the House of Representatives has appointed the following committee to act with a like committee from the Senate on House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 225 as amended. Representatives Davis, Fraker, McGow, Runyons, Burns. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to recede from its position on House Committee Substitute Senate committee substitutes Senate Bill 112 as amended and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Also, Mr. President, the Speaker of the House of Representatives has appointed the following committee to act with a like committee from the Senate on House committee substitutes, Senate committee substitutes, Senate Bill 112 as amended. Representatives Tate, Fraker, Bondon, Adams, McCreary. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to recede from its position on House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 355 as amended, and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Also, Mr. President, the Speaker of the House of Representatives has appointed the following committee to act with a like committee from the Senate on House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 355 as amended. Representatives Alferman, Lichtenegger, Rowland, 155, Kendrick, Dunn. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to recede from its position on House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 501 as amended, and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Also, Mr. President, the Speaker of the House of Representatives has appointed the following committee to act with a like committee from the Senate on House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 501 as amended. Representatives Stevens, 128, Neely, Wyman, Walker, 74, Stevens, 46. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to recede from its position on House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 421 as amended, and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Also, Mr. President, the Speaker of the House of Representatives has appointed the following committee to act with a like committee from the Senate on House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 421 as amended. Representatives Kidd, Engler, Kelly, 127, Rowland, 29, Anders. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to recede from its position on House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 35 as amended, and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Also, Mr. President, the Speaker of the House of Representatives has appointed the following committee to act with a like committee from the Senate on House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 35 as amended. Representatives Ross, Cristofanilli, Kelly, 141, Pearson, Jr., Rowland, 29. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to recede from its position on House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 11 as amended, and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Also, Mr. President, the Speaker of the House of Representatives has appointed the following committee to act with a like committee from the Senate on House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 11 as amended. Representatives Fraker, Alferman, Matthews, Wessels, McCreary. Also, Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to recede from its position on House Amendment 1, House Amendment 2, House Amendment 1 to House Amendment 3, House Amendment 2 to House Amendment 3, House Amendment 3 as amended, House Amendment 1 to House Amendment 4, House Amendment 4 as amended, to Senate Committee Substitute Number 2, Senate Bill 128, and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Also, Mr. President, the Speaker of the House of Representatives has appointed the following committee to act with a like committee from the Senate on Senate Committee Substitute Number 2, Senate Bill 128. Representatives Rober, McGow, Plocker, Mitten, Ellerbrock. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Madam Secretary, if there are conferees to be read in for the Senate, will you please have them read?
Conference Committee Appointments on Senate Bill Number 222 as amended. Senators Riddle, Munslinger, Hageman, Hummel, Curls. Conference Committee Appointments on House Committee Substitute Senate Bill Number 225 as amended. Senators Schatz, Wasson, Munslinger, Hummel, Shoup. Conference committee appointments on House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 112, Senators Schatz, Hageman, Hoskins, Curls, Holzman. Conference committee appointments on House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 355 as amended, Senators Romine, Libela, Hoskins, Hummel, Curls. Also, conference committee appointments on House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 501 as amended, Senators Sater, Onder, Brown, Shoup, Chappelle Nadal. Also, conference committee appointments on House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 421 as amended, Senators Rizzo, Hummel, Hoskins, Wasson, Krause. Also, conference committee appointments on House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 35 as amended, Senators Cunningham, Sater, Riddle, Rizzo, Sifton. Also, conference committee appointments on House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 11, Senators Wasson, Cunningham, Sater, Walsh, Shoup. Also, conference committee appointments on Senate Committee Substitute Number 2, Senate Bill Number 128 as amended, Senators Dixon, Libela, Romine, Sifton, Chappelle Nadal.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you recognize Senator from Berry County for a privileged motion on Senate Bill 30?
Senator from Berry, recognized for a privileged motion.
Yes, Mr. President, I have a privileged motion. I move that the Senate refuse to concur in House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 30 with House Amendment 1 through House Amendment 9 and request the House to recede from its position or, failing to do so, grant the Senate a conference thereon.
You heard the motion from the Senator from Berry. Does any Senator desire to be heard? Senator from Berry, you recognize close.
I close.
The Senator from Berry renews his motion. Those of the opinion of the motion that prevails say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Staying on that same order of business, House bills on third reading, I would ask that you recognize the Senator from Andrew County on House Bill Number 1194.
Senator from Andrew, you're recognized on Senate substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 194 and 193. And there's an amendment. Okay, Senator Mander, yes.
Mr. President, I move that House Bill, Senate Substitute for House Bill 1194 and 1193 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
The Senator from Mander has moved that 1194 and 193 brought up for third reading and final passage. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. I believe we have an amendment pending from the Senator from the 5th. And Senator from the 5th, you have the floor, and you're in the middle of your explanation of your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, as I was saying before I got interrupted, the state of Missouri versus the city of St. Louis. So we're talking about a livable wage, hourly wages, and what they should be. A single person in the state of Missouri should make $10.02 for the state of Missouri. And St. Louis, $10.43. Now, this is not what I'm saying. This is the Massachusetts Institution of Technology. Two adults, both working, right now, Missouri, $8.48. St. Louis, $8.57. livable wage. One adult, two children. Let me just go off topic for a second, because Cape Girardeau, Senator from Cape, talked about McDonald's and everything and how, you know, they shouldn't be making a livable wage because it's a startup, you know, for those individuals. But what the Cape representative didn't say to you was that just last year alone, McDonald's earned income was $4.7 billion. $4.7 billion. It's okay for them to make billions and billions of dollars on the backs of those individuals who are making a slave wage, which is so unfortunate. That's really unfortunate. But getting back to the topic at hand here. One adult, two kids, Missouri, $24.93. St. Louis City, $26.44. What am I talking about here? I'm talking about a livable hourly wage should be what it should be. A livable hourly wage. Two adults, one stay-at-home parent with two kids. A livable wage hourly for those individuals. In Missouri, 22.91. And the city of St. Louis, 24.36. This is hourly. This is what it should be. Two adults, both working. Three kids. Missouri, 16.08. St. Louis, city, $16.72. Comparison of annual expenses. When you look at the expenses, annual expenses for those single parents. Food for a single mother or a single father. Missouri, $3,067. And St. Louis City, annual expense for food, $3,047. Medical expense for the state of Missouri, $2,151. Now, we're still on a single person. St. Louis City, $2,009. Housing. Let's talk about housing for one adult, two kids. That's one adult and two kids, and we're talking annual expense. Missouri, $9,957. St. Louis, $6,696. This is annual expense. How could anyone live off $765 with these type of expenses? We're talking a single mother with two children here. And they can't even afford with that type of expense and the amount of money that I just talked to you about in terms of what they bring in on an annual basis. They can't even afford child care. Not in Missouri or St. Louis. Now let's talk about both two parents, both working. Two parents, both working. Food. The state of Missouri. $3,067. And the city, $3,047. Medical expense, St. Louis City, $2,091 annually. Missouri, $2,151 annually. Housing, $5,957 in the state of Missouri. St. Louis City, if you're paying attention to me, St. Louis City. Now, I'm talking two adults both working. $6,000. $996. Again, no child care. They can't even afford it if they had children. Now, one adult with two children. One adult, how much does it cost an individual to live in the state of Missouri or the city of St. Louis with one adult and two children? Food. In the state of Missouri for one adult and two children. $6,795. St. Louis City, one adult and two children. $6,867, and you are okay with $765. It's appalling. Medical expense. Missouri, wherever you come from, just say it how you want it. For housing, $9,062 annually. St. Louis City, one adult, two children, $10,080. Now we're talking child care, because we're talking one adult, two children. And you know, child care can be expensive. Missouri, $8,060. St. Louis City, $8,177. Now, we're moving on to, we're just talking about the cost of living. I'm telling you what the cost of living is for different households, be it a single mother with three or two-parent household, two adults, one stay-at-home, one parent, or two kids. Well, the adult, one stay-at-home parent with two kids, the annual expense, $9,035 here in the state of Missouri. And St. Louis, $9,079. So I'm sure you're going to have someone that probably going to dispute this. But this is not what I'm saying. This is a study done here. Don't argue with the study. Don't argue with me when it's time for you to talk. Missouri, medical expense, $5,369. St. Louis City, $5,844, two adults, one stay at home, two children. Housing. I'm going to go on and on and on so that I can instill in each and every one of you how important it is for you to back up off St. Louis when it comes to minimum wage. At the end of the day, individuals cannot survive on $7.65, $7.85. Now, we're talking two adults, one stay at home, two kids. They can't even afford. And the housing is $9,000 for Missouri, $9,062. St. Louis City, $10,080. Child care, zero. St. Louis, Missouri, zero. They just can't afford it. Two adults, both working, three kids. Food, $11,000 annually. St. Louis, $11,031 annually. Medical expense, $5,484. St. Louis City, $5,702. Housing, $12,198. For the state of Missouri. St. Louis City, $13,308. Child care, oh wow. for child care, again, with two adults, one stay at home, two adults, both parents working, three kids. You know how much it costs? Child care? Missouri, $11,163. St. Louis City, $11,319. So, Mr. President, many Republicans don't believe that a living wage should be placed upon states by the federal government, but want to use the power of the state to stifle economic equality at a local level. They don't think that they should be forced to implement a minimum wage by way of the federal government. The question is, why should we be forced in St. Louis to implement a minimum wage? The president, increasing the minimum wage at the local level is a key tool in addressing the income inequalities. And the increased cost of living, you just heard it. The increased cost of living, according to the Employment Law Project, higher cost cities such as St. Louis can better set wages that are comparable to the local living cost. Localities being able to address this problem actually relieves the burden on the states. If we are able to do it ourselves, we can relieve the burden on the states. This is not what I'm saying. This is an Employment Law Project. The main argument against localities such as St. Louis City increasing wages is that businesses will leave. Well, Mr. President, according to Empowerment Law Project, reports from cities that have increased their wages, their minimum wage, have proved this to be untrue. Go do the research. Do your research. It's not true. It's a myth that if you increase your livable wage in the cities, that people will flee, that people will leave, that people will run. It's untrue, Mr. President. The reality is that businesses will not leave largely populated cities like St. Louis. Not true. Low-wage positions affected by city minimum wages are restaurant, child care, and retail businesses. Their customer base are inside the cities. Mr. President, most of these businesses can't move outside of the city while still retaining customers. However, while businesses will likely not leave with an increase in minimum wage, we are at a serious risk of losing vulnerable Missouri workers without it. Currently, surrounding Republican-controlled states and cities are in a good position to steal our best and brightest because of the willingness to pay workers a living wage. Look at Arkansas. Arkansas, $8.50. Illinois, $8.25. Now, within the city of Illinois, city, Chicago, $13 by 2019. Iowa, Jackson County, Lane County, $10 by 2017. Missouri. That's us. $7.70. But St. Louis, $10. And that's where it's supposed to be, according to what you just heard, in terms of what it takes to live on an annual basis. Arkansas State, $9. And Mr. President, I notice the absence of a quorum. Mr. President.
The absence of a quorum has been noted. Sergeant of Arms, please summon senators to the chamber. Quorum being established, Senator from the 5th, you may continue.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, Mr. President, thank you very much. Yeah, you know, I mean, I want people to be in here with me. You know, that's our job, to be here, you know. And I know that it's early. It's early here. I don't know, my staff, they always bother me. Why don't you write a note and send it to me? They just always bother me when I'm talking. Just write a note, please. Quit trying to do sign language. You don't know about no sign language. So anyway, Mr. President, I would like start over and talk from the beginning since no one really heard me. Because everybody was out. I can just start all back over and just start it all over, but I'm not going to do that. So anyway, just real, you know, just kind of keeping at pace with what I'm trying to articulate and discuss with my body, my colleagues here. So Nebraska. Nebraska State, $9 an hour. That's $9 an hour in Nebraska. This is a good thing. So, the cities of Lincoln are comparable to St. Louis City in terms of living wages and annual expenses. And that's what I just talked about, you know. How can people live? How can people survive? What are we willing to do to help those that are most in need of survival? Comparison of wages, public versus private, St. Louis City and Missouri versus Nebraska. I talked about already struggling skilled workforce. We have a very struggling skilled workforce. I don't know how many of you are familiar. I don't know how many of you know that, especially in St. Louis. We can't afford to lose more of our hard workers here. Prevailing wages on the line. Prevailing wages, that's really good wages. I mean, I would love for everyone to have, instead of a minimum wage, prevailing wage. Imagine having a prevailing wage. You know, I mean, you working, you know, on a project, working hard, you bring it in $30, $40 an hour. That's nice money. I mean, when you're making money like that, you can begin to recycle that money into the economy. I don't know of no one. I don't know of anyone, Mr. President, who's working for McDonald's or Burger King or Smoothie King that's actually making monies and saving their little pennies. You know what they're doing? And you know what they will do when they're making more? Guess what, Mr. President? Mr. President, I hope you're listening. Guess what? They spend more. People spend more when they make more. They're not like the one percenters, you know, who save up their monies and invest their monies into stocks and bonds and, you know, buy antiques so they can have life insurance for their father and their daddy so they can get rich off that. That ain't what they do. Those individuals not doing that. They going out buying Nikes that they can't afford, putting the monies right back in the economy. They hanging out in the nearest nightclubs, kicking it, buying Patron and, you know, kicking it in the nightclub, costs $20 to get in. They're getting the hair and the nails done. They're spending their money. So I'm a firm believer, Mr. President, that when individuals are making money, they spend money. Why not cultivate the struggling economy? Because you saw what just happened with the budget. We were in a crisis there. That's because we gave so much money away to the corporate hustlers, corporate welfare, you know, tax breaks for the corporations, and found ourselves in a crisis, economic crisis, budget crisis. But how we can get out of it? We can get out of it because I know you know, Mr. President, and I know that St. Louis City and Kansas City generates the most in this state when it comes to the economy. Now, I'm not taking anything away from my farmers, okay? The ag community. I need good, you know, soybeans, and I need corn, too. And I like, you know, nice cows and like the beef some every once in a while. But soy milk is good. I like soy milk. So I'm not taking anything away from the, you know, the ag community. But the economic engines are the two cities that you all are trying to attack tonight. How dare you? How dare you? What was I just talking about? I lost my train of thought. Yeah. So I'm getting old around here. But at any rate, yeah. So, Mr. President, St. Louis, percent of skilled workforce versus the U.S. average is dwindling. Metro in my district has now put into effect the new minimum wage that you all don't like. $10 per hour for most jobs. That's for most jobs. Again, under 500 doesn't apply. The ordinance for the new wage that is well above the minimum wage of 770 in the rest of the state of Missouri and 825 in neighboring states like Illinois, was passed in 2015, as I said earlier. And it was upheld, as I said earlier. And I can reiterate and reiterate and reiterate, it was upheld by the higher courts in our state. Talking so loud behind me, barely hear myself. I'm not going to ask them to be gavelled, though. So, Mr. President, what I'm saying here is that I want you to get out of our backyard. Get out of St. Louis' backyard. Quit trying to tell us what we should do and how we should cause our cities to grow from an economic standpoint. Again, the same old arguments. I'm going to continue to hear them throughout tonight and tomorrow morning and Friday at 6. Many argue raising the wage will negatively impact the businesses. But our lawmakers, sure to protect both the rights of the people and the businesses that others work for, why can't we protect both? Why can't we find a balancing act here in the state of Missouri? Because I'm not anti-business, make no mistake about it. You better ask the Missouri Chamber of Commerce. I think I got like a 65 or something last year. The highest out of all the Democrats. Better believe that. Because I support the Chamber of Commerce. I have a lot of friends over there at Muggsy's office. They hanging out right now, probably listening. Those are my people. I like them. You know, but you know that it's never enough for the Missouri Chamber. They just want more and more and more. They got a lot this session. They should be happy with what they've received, accomplished this session. Now they're coming after St. Louis. Not on my watch. Not on my watch. If you're listening, Missouri Chamber of Commerce, it's not happening. I like some of them there. So anyway, Mr. President, I'm having a nice time this evening. I'm feeling good. You know, I had a nice workout after you let me, we adjourned around 1 o'clock and everything. And I decided what I'll do is I'll take a couple laps around this, you know, building. I went around once, then I hit the steps. You know, when all those kids be in your way near the steps over there, they always in your way. Those children on Wednesdays, oh my God. And so I had to run up and down the steps. I'm like, could you move? So I did that, ran around, hit the steps, came up and down, went back around, up and down, went back around, up and down. So I'm feeling real good. Feeling real good. So the minimum wage laws in my district will, again, again, will not apply. And that's why I don't understand why we have a problem here, because it will not apply to those making under $500 per year, or employee fewer than 15 workers. It will also not apply to employees that work less than 20 hours per calendar year. So what are you all afraid of? What are you afraid of? We need to start thinking outside of the box, a more holistic approach to how we bring more money and how we generate more monies back into this economy by way of sales tax. Local base wages. You know, I am a proponent of minimum wage increase set by cities. But I believe that if Republicans and other states see the need for increased minimum wage, then what's wrong with Republicans in the state of Missouri? Seems like they just backwards sometimes. I mean, you have some Republicans in other states, they expanded Medicaid. They expanded Medicaid. They increased the minimum wage. And other states, Republicans, I'm not talking about Democrats, I'm talking about Republicans, they get it. They understand how to make an economy work. We're not talking about no old antiquated textbooks. We know what makes the economy work. The more you spend, the more money you generate. The more people working, the more taxes we get. Earned income taxes. People buying houses, so then you got property taxes. Ain't no rocket science to figure out how we can build our economy. Put people to work. Quit attacking the working class. That's how you do it. You know, it's no wonder why We are 50 out of 50 for pay for state workers. 50 out of 50 for pay for state workers. You know, I am not asking for the state senators and my representatives to set a single state minimum wage, because that would not address the economic issue that varies between our Constitution and from city to city. I'm not asking to do that. Living in St. Louis cannot be equated to living in the rural areas, small towns. They're inseparable. I mean, they're separate. I mean, you can live cheaper than I can live in St. Louis. I just told you, just showed you that. St. Louis, a one bedroom? St. Louis, one bedroom. How can we do it straight across the board? When St. Louis, one bedroom, $12 an hour. Yeah, you think I'm kidding? You shocked, aren't you? One of my colleagues, Republican colleagues, shocked. One bedroom, $11 an hour. I mean, $1,100. One bedroom. But we cannot. I mean, it varies between our counties and cities. A city like St. Louis with a high cost of living has deceased spending power under the state's current minimum wage. Sorry, decreased spending power under the current minimum wage. The local-based minimum wage that St. Louis is proposing is the best option for coping with the vast differences in living costs, economic disparities, and purchasing power within our state. I just talked about it. I just talked about how we're able and what we can do and should do to get this economy and this engine going. See, minimum wage to me in St. Louis, the current minimum wage to me in St. Louis is like a car with no gas. $7.75 I compare to a car with no gas. If you don't have gas in your car, guess what? It's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. That's what I compare $7.65 or $7.75 to. If you're making $7.65, you're not going anywhere. You're stuck. You are stuck. You're not going anywhere. You're not moving up the ladder. It's like a car with no gas. We are the show me state, Mr. President. But it is clear that the rest of this country continues to show us up while we sit in this chamber and watch how it's done. Let's show them how it's done, Mr. President. Missourians, let's show them that we are listening. I would love to have a straight across the board minimum wage increase for the state of Missouri. I would love that. That would be great. You know, there are story after story after story that I've heard. Hey, Senator. Story, 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 story. I've heard so many stories. So many stories. Stories of people living on a minimum wage. Oh, it just makes you want to cry. Remember that song? Makes you want to holler, throw up your hands. I ain't finna start singing like the two senators are singing Kumbaya. Well, I can do some R&B now. What is that, Marvin Gaye? Who was that? Yeah, so make you want to holler. All you can do is throw up your hands. But at any rate, the U.S. today, you know, there were stories about individuals living on minimum wage. Young lady, Chelsea, 52 years old, minimum wage worker at Burger King in Detroit, moved to Holland, Michigan in 2007 after his mother died. Sorry, as a man. He had to get out of town. He moved back to Detroit in 2014. He worked at Burger King for $8.15 per hour. The minimum wage in Michigan. He can only get about 25 hours of work per week at Burger King. He's been active in the D15 campaign to increase the minimum wage in Detroit to $15 an hour. He once met the U.S. Secretary of Labor, Perez, when he was visiting Detroit. It's hard, he said. If it weren't for my grandma, this is her house. I got a room upstairs. If it wasn't for her, I don't know what or where I'll be. I'd be in a shelter, probably be on the street. That's what he said. Where we are, where we stood in 2016, the last time Congress raised the minimum wage, billions of workers across the USA received a pay raise in three phases. From workers all across the U.S., they received pay raises. Again, they received pay raises in three phases. From guess what? Guess what? They having fun while people trying to protect their wages. Should call for PQ. Not PQ. I don't want no PQ. Why am I saying PQ? Foreign policy. So anyway, from $5.15 per hour to $5.85 in 2007, then $6.55 the following year, and then finally $7.25 in 2009. $7.25 in 2009. And there the minimum wage has remained since. Even at the time of that increase, economists noted that when adjusted for inflation, the minimum wage was still at a low level than the past. Even after adjusted for inflation. Since 2009, Mr. President, inflation has gone up approximately 11%. 11%! And again, minimum wage is still at a standstill. Nickel, 5 cents. $7.75. With no nationwide minimum wage increase in 6 years and none on the horizon, hourly workers, Mr. President, especially in the fast food industry, have staged protests seeking higher wages, higher pay and employee rights. They're doing it all over the country. You see what's happening out there. People are protesting. People are tired, sick and tired of being sick and tired. And they are rising up. They are saying enough is enough. Because all we're seeing throughout this country, all we're seeing are attacks after attack on the working class, individuals who want to love who they want to love, healthcare, women's reproductive rights are being attacked each and every day throughout this country. But you know, when you start pushing people too far, when you start pushing their backs against the wall, and you're constantly pushing their backs against the wall, Mr. President, they're going to come out swinging. Because they can only take so much. And that's why you see this new generation, this new movement, these young folks that are rising up on social media, rising up in other countries, saying that we will not tolerate this injustice. We know that we live in a republic, but we want democracy. That's what these young folks are telling you. You have to listen. You need to listen. Because this is a new day. This is a new day. Watch what's about to happen. Watch what's about to happen. You're going to have to listen. You are going to have to listen. So, at 40 hours per week, a full-time worker at $7.75 an hour makes $290 per week in gross pay, Mr. President. $290 per week. Now, you tell me if you can live on that. Slave wages. That's what that is. Before taxes and other payroll deductions, that's how much they make. That's a phone bill. That's an electric bill. That's just a car note. Can't even afford a house or an apartment. And you think it's okay. You think it's all right. Well, it's not all right. It's wrong. It's unjust. It's inhumane. And I'm going to tell you something. They sent me here to fight the good fight, to fight for those that cannot fight for themselves. And let me tell you something. I'm young, I'm strong, and I can go all night long. You better believe it. Mr. President, the annual pay of $15,880 puts an individual above the poverty line by $3,310. At just one dependent, a non-working spouse or a child, and that worker falls into the federal classification of poverty. Yes, that's a fact. Mr. President, I notice the absence of a quorum. Thank you, Mr. President.
The absence of a quorum has been established. Mr. Sergeant-at-Arms, please summon the senators to the chamber. Quorum has been established. Senator from the 5th, you may continue.
And thank you very much. Okay, Mr. President, as I was stating, poverty is real, Mr. President. Poverty is real in the state of Missouri. People are living on the streets because they cannot afford a home, even though they have a job, even though they are making minimum wage. All of this has prompted many states and cities to pass their own minimum wage laws in recent months. Because again, Mr. President, poverty is real. 29 states, plus the District of Columbia, now have minimum wage above $7.25. D.C. exceeded all of the states' minimum wage. D.C. at $10.50, while a handful of other cities, including San Francisco, Mr. President, are on the path to raising a minimum wage of $15 in the coming years. Now, I know that the cost of living is different, in, just like I said, in the city versus Deaf City, and it's different in New York versus St. Louis, and sometimes $15 is good and $20 is good and $20 is not good enough, and I know that. But people are catching on. They're catching on, and what are they catching on to? They're catching on to the fact that people are not in survival mode. They are not surviving. Employers are arguing that higher minimum wage laws, again, and I'm going to keep saying it, harm job creation and can cost jobs. And also lead to increase of inflation as businesses are faced with lowering costs or an increase in prices to maintain profit. We heard that earlier. What they're losing is profit. Losing profit. Many of them, oh, we're not making profit. Give me a break. I don't know one business that will stay in business if they're not making profit. Okay? I used to be a business owner myself. And I had the toughest business. I'm trying to get black folks to read. I owned a bookstore for 10 years. 10 years of my life at 19 years old. I owned and operated a bookstore. But guess what? You don't run out of business. You become creative. You go get more marketing skills. You find ways to bring customers in other ways. You become a guerrilla marketer. That's how you survive in business when you want to do right towards your workers. I hear that all the time. You need to write a book. Well, you know, I'm only on chapter 3. I have 12 more chapters of my life. Ready yet? You know, so if you're worried or if you're concerned about running out of business, going out of business, or you need to clean your desk. People watching that from the chamber. You know, if you're concerned about that, well, go take some marketing classes. Figure out how you can bring customers into your front door. When Big Macs start, when people stop buying Big Macs, guess what they do? When that's kind of going out of style, they go get a triple Big Mac for a dollar more, 50 cent more. They can keep their customers coming. Mario get boring, people stop buying more. What they do? They go buy Super Mario. They go get a Super Mario. People know how to market. Nobody gonna run out of business. I don't believe that. You know why I don't believe that? I don't believe it, Mr. President, because no other state who have decided to raise their minimum wage, surrounding states, that no one went out of business. Or you must know something that I don't know. But I don't even know of any of states, cities. I'll say cities because first thing they're going to say is that, right, it's states, it's not cities. Oh, you have some cities that actually raise their wages and they are afloat. They are thriving. They are still in business. They didn't run to another state. They didn't close their doors. No. Don't believe the hype. Not true, Mr. President. It's not true. In examining the minimum wage issues, U.S. Today Network spoke with workers and communities that have experienced recent increase. Ah, heard that? Many of the states who have raised their wages, they have seen an increase in sales. Maybe because the workers are more enthused now. They're more excited about their jobs. The morale may be just a little bit higher now because they're making more. It probably increased because they're probably not still out the cash register anymore. Without you knowing. So, Mr. President, there are stories about life at the bottom of the pay scale that we can talk about all night long. Workers working as housekeepers, the pay raises in recent years as the minimum wage, the District of Columbia has increased. Much noise back there. It is now at $10.50 per hour. Married, mother of two, and one of her children has autism. As the minimum wage has gone up, Erica has been able to move her family into a two-bedroom apartment and buy her own self a car. All because of the increase in minimum wage. It just makes me feel very good because now I'm able to provide for my family a little more than I used to, Erica said, through an interview or by way of an interview. Those are good stories that we like to hear. Young girl by the name of Sandra, 35 years old. Sandra living and working in Oklahoma, California, where the minimum wage is $12.25 per hour. That's $3.25 higher than the state minimum wage. The single mother of four work at McDonald's. McDonald's, Senator from Kate. And has been active in efforts to continue to raise the minimum wage in California, ensuring fast food workers' rights and establish a union. She's been busy, 35 years old. Before the minimum wage even went up, everything has been going up in price. And everything going up right now, Sandra said, hurting. You know what? No, she was. But she see light at the end of the tunnel. Because the wage no more or no longer a slave wage, a livable wage. This is McDonald's. Young girl, Sandra, 35 years old, McDonald's. Young girl in Houston. Houston. Her name is Houston. Is a recent graduate of the University of Vermont, where she earned a degree in jazz studies with a minor in park and recreation. The only full-time work she has been able to find is a Rite Aid, whatever that is, where she started last year at the minimum wage of $9.15. On her first anniversary with the company, she received an 18 cent per hour raise. She said, "I took that job because it was better than not working at all," Houston said. Again, people want to work. People are not lazy. People who are making minimum wage are not those individuals who are 18 and 16 years old. That's not the majority of those individuals who are working at McDonald's. These are people who retired and who found themselves unable to keep their mortgage up, who found themselves unable because now they're on a fixed income, not an adjustable income, who found themselves unable to fix their roof because it's leaking now. Who want to stay in their homes and not go into senior facilities? Who wants to be independent? Those are the people. Yeah, you have teenagers, 16, 17, 18, but I can tell you most of them are living off their mom and their dads. The ones that are really out there struggling to make ends meet in the fast food restaurants, over 50%. Now, someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but over 50% are not teenagers. This is real life for people. Sarah, 50 years old, raised in the projects of Wilmington. Sarah, who worked at Burger King for the Delaware minimum wage of $825 an hour. He previously worked for Case Violence and Community Organization, but lost a job when they were unfunded. The funding ran out. He lives with her husband and young daughter in a one-bedroom apartment. Unable to work because of medical conditions now. Unable to work because of medical conditions. Quote, "I am trying to make an honest living, trying to stay out of trouble, trying to just survive the best way I can without getting in any trouble. But it's been very difficult when you only can make so much money as a civilized person in society and still try to get the medical needs met that I will never be able to meet without assistance." So, she talked about crime. She wants to stay out of trouble. He wants to stay out of trouble. I mean, yeah, he wants to stay out of trouble. Crime, I believe, people talk about why crime, what's going on with all this crime? I believe crime is a direct correlation to poverty. Give people jobs. Your neighborhoods and your blocks no longer become the crime scenes. Individuals rob, steal, and kill several reasons. Some of them, they just don't have no morals. Many of them, they don't have no hope. Many of them are impoverished. They just don't care about living, they care about life. So they don't care about taking other people's lives. I'm not making excuses for why people do what they do. But what I am saying to you, individuals have made mistakes in the past. Many of them have come into a world to no fault of their own. Mother, 15 years old, brought them into a world where she doesn't know how to raise them. They grow up to be 15, 16, 17 years old. She's 30 years old. Impoverished, he's impoverished. They don't know where to turn. For the life of crime. They get caught up, go to prison. Serve 3, 4, 5 years for selling drugs, nonviolent offenses. 80% of people that are incarcerated for nonviolent offenses. Many of them drug activity. Them selling drugs, they have to figure out that's the only way they can survive. They get out of prison, serve their time, pay their debt to society. They knock on the doors of opportunities, doors are slammed in their faces because they walk near that door with the stigma of being an ex-felon. Not able to get a job, even though they want to do the right thing. They want to change their lives. They made mistakes. This is real life. This is real life. This is what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is real life stuff. This is what happens in the inner cities. This is real stuff. So they come out of prison, try to do right. They want to do right. Again, this is an 18, 17-year-old kid who mama was 15 when she had him. Dropped out of school, didn't ask to be in this world. No one gave them the morals or principles and the roadmap to being successful. Mama didn't go to school, so the cycle goes on and on. They drop out of school because the mom don't care nothing about school. So she's not instilling in that kid how important school is. Get out of prison, can't find a job. Unions, sometimes, open the doors. Sometimes they don't let them in when it comes to trades. So they don't have anything. And they turn to crime. Minimum wage job, can't make ends meet. All they know is a neighborhood that they've been in all their lives. Many of them never gone. You have kids that I know in St. Louis that have never gone outside of their neighborhoods. Not the Science Center, not the zoo, not Six Flags. They are stuck in a vicious cycle because of the poverty. And the zoo is like less than 2 miles. They've never been to the zoo. Never been to the Science Center. All they know is their block. That's what poverty looks like. So they get a McDonald's job. Can't live off that. Then they turn to a life of crime. If you wonder why St. Louis crime rate is so high. Murder rate is at its all-time high. Why is that? Why do we have so many angry people or out killing people? So you have Alex, 27 years old, certified nursing assistant, struggling to support her 2 children. When her 8-year-old daughter asked to join the track team at her school, Alex was faced with a hard conversation. a hard conversation. He would have to tell her daughter that she simply couldn't afford it. Now, this is a mother who's trying to do something with her life, who's going to school for nursing assistants. And her daughter don't want to hang out in the hood that I was just telling you about. Her daughter want to get out and join the track meet, be on the track team. But the mother cannot afford the uniform. You know, those uniforms can be high. $100, $200, $200, they make that every 2 weeks. That's $200 for the track, the shoes, and the uniform. You know how they do all that stuff. It's almost $150 trying to put your kid into track. And all she's making is minimum wage and trying to go to school. Or struggling. People are struggling because their lives are not livable. Not livable. People are committing suicide because they don't want to see what the next day is going to look like for their children. Because they're struggling so much and struggling so hard. And they fall in deep depressions. And they commit suicide. Guess what? They don't care. We only want to give them a raise. We want to give them a $10 an hour raise. Dollars. It's all these people asking. They just want to keep it. I can guarantee you these businesses are going to be fine. They're going to be just fine. Where is your heart, your God-like heart? We all say we believe in a higher being. We all say that. Who did God and Jesus go after to look after? The downtrodden, the lowest of the low, the people who have been condemned and talked about, who couldn't fend for themselves. Who do you really believe in? Go back and study your Bibles. But you know what? I have seen young men and women struggling who have had the faith of a Job. When times got hard and the struggle got longer and they wanted to give up and people gave up on them, they kept going, they kept going, they kept thriving, they kept fighting. And I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm not here just to argue with you all and, you know, just fight, just to be fighting. I don't like to fight. I mean, I like to fight some. I used to like to fight. I still like to fight in the boxing ring. I go boxing and I work out. Go look at my Facebook page. I got a video up. Boxing. I like fighting. But I don't want to fight you all. You are working in the best interest of the wrong people. Shouldn't be your fight. Business is going to always thrive. They're going to always do fine. We live in a capitalist society where this society will strive no matter what you say and what you do. We live in a capitalist society, a sexist society, a commercialism society. We're going to be okay. But what about the small people? You know, higher wages, minimum wages. 29 states, Mr. President. 29 states. Some cities also. Also have raised the wage. Top 10 minimum wage states, cities, Washington, D.C., 947, Oregon, 925, Connecticut, 915, Vermont, 915, California, 9, Massachusetts, 9, Minnesota, 9, Rhode Island, 9, Alaska, 875, New York, 875, D.C., 1050, Minnesota, 9 only for large employees. Nevada, 825. Iowa, 810. Mr. President, I didn't hear no one of those states at 760, 770 an hour. Not one. Are we? Who are we as people, as human beings, to think it's okay to pay a person, as I call it, a slave wage? Why do we think that's okay? Low wage workers are older than you think, and I just mentioned that earlier. 80% of workers. And I got my facts wrong earlier, so to be corrected, I will correct myself. 88% of workers who work, who would benefit from a higher wage, minimum wage, are older than 20 years of age. One-third are over 40 years of age. 40 years of age. It is a common myth that very low-wage workers, workers who would see a raise if the minimum wage were increased, are mostly teenagers. Not true. Go read the economic policy of institutes. It's not true. It's not just not true. Don't believe that. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe that this is about teenagers, just we want to pay teenagers more. It's not what this is about. The reality is that raising the federal minimum wage to $10 per hour would primarily benefit older workers and both on the federal level as well as the state level. 88% of workers who would be affected by raising the minimum wage, Mr. President, again, are at least 20 years of age, and 30 of them are over at least 40 years of age. This is real. People are trying to survive. Am I on my amendment? Better. Yeah, I guess I'm still on my amendment. Who's helped by raising the minimum wage? Mention a few. What people think, they think teenagers are the ones. Or they think that teenagers who work part-time after school, teenagers who live with their parents, they think those are the ones. Teenagers who just want to earn extra money. Spend money. They think those are the only ones that minimum wage helps. Again, the reality, who's helped by raising the minimum wage? You want to know who's helped? The average 35-year-old? Again, 88% are 20 years older, 36 or over 40 years of age. Women, 56% are women. 28% have children. Again, go back to what I talked about earlier on what it takes to survive on an annual basis. 50% are women. 28% have children. 55 work full time. Ain't no part-time gig. These people, they must work. They have to work. On average, they earn half of their family's total income. Again, this is not what I'm saying. This is the Economic Policy Institution. When describing who see a raise if the minimum wage were increased, it is important to look at everyone who earned between the current minimum wage and the proposed one, the new ones, as well as workers earning just above the new minimum wage, who will likely also see a small pay increase as employers move to preserve internal wage ladder. The typical worker who would be affected by an increase in the minimum wage to $10.10 per hour by 2015 looks nothing like the part-time teenager stereotype that we all talk about. Again, she is a 30-year-old full-time worker who may have a family to support. That's who we're talking about. We're not talking about these kids. 55.5%. Women, 56%. 44% have at least some college experience. 44% some college experience. Now you know what I know with how the, you know what I know, that the wave of the future is different from how it used to be. You know, we are sending our children to college, not going into the right careers with science and technology, because that's the boom now. It hasn't burst yet. Manufacturing, that bubble burst. Industrial bubble burst. Okay? Those bubbles, they burst. But technology and science is still there, and it's still thriving. But our children are not no one is gearing our children towards what's working so that they can live a livable lifestyle. You go to any college right now, less than 2-3% of African Americans are non-African American. Majority of those individuals that are in the universities who are taking up science and technology and engineering coming from India, coming from other countries, because we're not equipping our young folks to get the jobs that are out there now. So when they go to college, four-year colleges, they come out with $200,000 and $300,000 in debt sometimes, $100,000 in debt sometimes. And guess what? They can't find jobs. They cannot find jobs. So when you hear about 44% have at least some college experience, that's real. Real. Because they're going in the wrong trades, wrong career paths. Nobody's really taking them down the path that's really working. So when many of my colleagues get up on the floor and they start talking about, or they start having claims that mostly teenagers will see a raise in the minimum wage, the increase in wages, and that's just not the majority. They're not teenagers. Not. The officials of Department of Labor statistics data on workers who are earning the federal minimum wage or below, i.e. workers earning exactly $7.25 per hour or less. These data does not provide an accurate picture of who would see a raise in the minimum wage. Because they exclude all workers from the 19 states with higher state minimum wages. This is real. This is real. Mr. President, I notice the absence of a quorum. Mr. President.
Senator from the 5th.
What's the absence of a quorum?
The absence of a quorum has been noted. Sergeant of Arms, please summon the senators to the chamber. Quorum has been established. Senator from the 5th, you may continue.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, so, Mr. President, it's time to stay where we are. It's time for you to stay out of St. Louis business. It's time for St. Louis to do what's in the best interest of the people that they represent. It's been time to raise the wage. And we did that. $10 is a small change. Small change. The typical worker will see $2,400 raise. Enough to make a real difference. A real difference. Pretty good. That's real good. And people know that raising the minimum wage put more monies into the local economy. I talked about that earlier. Raising the wage for cities' lowest paid workers put monies into the hands of the people who spend their income at the highest rate, boosting demand for goods and services in the local economy. When you give someone making $306 a week, another $80 a week, they spend it. It's a fact. They spend that money. They immediately go to the mall, the Galleria. You know, the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago recently estimated that $1.75 increase in pay for a minimum wage worker creates, let me repeat this, let me slow down here. Because I want you all to hear this. Okay? According to the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, recently estimated that $1.75 increase in pay for minimum wage workers creates 2,800 more in annual spending in the local economy. Did you hear what I just said? Who's listening? Nobody's listening, I guess. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. I really appreciate that. You're listening. And you're listening. Thank you. But I would like to repeat that. Oh, okay. And the floor leader said he's listening. That's good. That's good. That's good. Somebody's listening. That's a good thing. You had a lot of more hours to listen to me. So anyway, I must repeat this, though, because this is very telling. Because, I mean, we have to dispel the myths here. We can't keep allowing people to tell you anything. And you just accept it and you go whichever way the wind blows. Whoever was in your left ear, that's where you go. And then when they leave out the left ear, you come into the right ear and you right there. Can't go whichever way the wind blows. You got to have a foundation here. How to help you, Senator? Talking to the senator who's handling this horrible piece of legislation. You have to have a foundation, Senator. I like you. So anyway, I'm going to repeat this. The Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago recently estimated that $1.75 increases in pay for a minimum wage worker creates 2,800 more in annual spending in local economy. That is real. I'm not just talking. See, a lot of you all, people tell you anything. You just go whichever way the wind blows. Oh, we're going to lose business. We're going to run out of business. Don't let those people tell you that. You need to just stop it. Just get on my nerves when y'all don't listen to what I'm saying to you. This is real.
Senator Manager.
President, will you put that bill on the informal calendar?
That bill will be placed on the informal calendar. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senator, go to the order of business of announcements.
The order of business is announcements. Announcements. Seeing none, Senator from Cole.
Thank you.
Senator from the Fifth.
Mr. President, I have an announcement.
You may proceed.
I'm announcing the fact that no one was in here listening to me, and I feel really bad about that. So next time I'm asking that people listen to me when I'm talking, because this is a serious conversation. That's my announcement, Mr. President. Thank you.
Duly noted. Senator from Cole.
I have an announcement.
Proceed.
I would like the Senator from the Fifth to know the Senator from the Second was listening intently to her debate, and they're both blushing now, Mr. President. Mr. President, no further business coming for the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
The Senator from Cole has moved the Senate stand adjourned under the rules. All those that depend on that motion shall prevail, signify by saying aye. All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate is adjourned.